Once again on Monday night, close but no cigar for the New York football Giants. Once again, the Giants with a performance that to me is good enough to lose. I know I have used that terminology. I know I have used that phrase quite a bit over the last couple of years. But sure enough, it holds true again on Monday night as they lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by the score of 25-23. And let me start here. When you compare watching the Giants to watching the other team in town, and listen, I'm obviously doing so with the neutral, you know, rooting interest. I'm a Dolphin guy. I'm going to watch the Jets for what they are. I'm going to watch the Giants for what they are. Listen, I do that no matter what. But, like, there's no hooting and hollering anyway. I can tell you from just, like, a watchability standpoint as a sports radio host, the Giants are far more entertaining. Their games are far more interesting. I know it's such an insanely low bar in comparing them to the New York Jets, but, like, I was thinking that a couple of different times as I'm watching the game. I'm seeing how the Giants are coached. I'm definitely a fan of that. I'm seeing the way the Giant defense was able to play from Blake Martinez to Fackrell to Bradberry to Logan Ryan and Peppers to Leonard Williams, who had a sack. The Giant defense, to their credit, came to play against Tampa Bay. They disrupted Tom Brady. They hit Tom Brady. They neutralized the Tampa rushing attack that basically did a whole lot of nothing. But you could get the sense, because of what the Giants have done in their last couple of games, that when Tampa went down the field, kicked the field goal at the end of the first half, made it a 14-6 ball game, where you got a clean first half out of Daniel Jones, where the Giant offense showed you some creativity within their play calling. You felt like, at least I did, that the Giants should have been up by a lot more than that. They were not. And that's why the second half and what transpired with this quarterback can't be overlooked in any way. Daniel Jones made not one, but just two horrendous decisions in this game. Game-changing type of plays that cost the Giants dearly. First series, right out of the locker room. Boom, two plays in. Throws a pick, in which, for my money, he had Darius Slayton, if indeed he makes the throw down the field. Didn't do it. Inexcusable. Leads to a Tampa field goal. Then Tampa scores their touchdown to make it 15-14. The Giants put together another drive, 10 plays, 56 yards. It gives you a field goal. But then another drive in which Daniel Jones throws just a mind-numbing pick. Like, these are the sort of decisions that cannot happen midway through your second year. I'm sorry. They are inexcusable turnovers. And it led to basically what? 7-3, 10 points. Bruce Arians said it after the game. We were outplayed in many facets. We know Daniel Jones could be a little bold. We know he could be a little brave. But we don't win this game without those two interceptions. And you know what? Bruce Arians is 1,000% right. Those two interceptions really were able to undo in some way what the Giant defense was able to do and what the Giant offense did in the first half. They were absolute killers. They're completely on the quarterback. I don't want anybody to excuse them. They were brutal, brutal, brutal plays. Now, this is where I'm going to take Bruce Arians to task a little bit. This is a 5-point game. Tampa's bleeding clock. They had a 4th-and-1 in which they have a quarterback who I've seen now for 20 years master the art of the one-yard sneak. He's done it over and over again. They said, you know what? We're going to kick the field goal. I was surprised by that. I didn't like that move. Made an 8-point game. Gave the Giants life. Gave the Giants a chance to go and march down the field. And this is where I can give Daniel Jones some credit. Because even if a couple of those throws were rather fortunate, right? The 4th and 5 to Darius Slayton was an absolute heave. I mean, he basically threw the ball across his body. It was, you know, a prayer for dear life. Hey, to his credit, it ended up working. Picked up the first down. Then they had a 4th and 16 at the Tampa 49-yard line where I thought the Giants were dead once again. And this time, Daniel Jones stepped up, soft coverage, found Sterling Shepard for 29 yards. Beautiful job. Then he hooks up with Golden Tate on what was a beautiful pitch and catch for a touchdown. And this, to me, can be the just infuriating aspect of Jones from what you've seen now 2 years into his Giant tenure. He throws a pretty ball. I'm not going to deny that. I've seen it with my own eyes. He throws a pretty ball. His first touchdown pass of the day to Deion Lewis. It was a nice touch. The touchdown he threw to Golden Tate. Nice touch. Doesn't excuse the nonsense I saw in the second half of this game. But I love seeing Jones get off the mat to make a play, to make a throw, to give you a chance to go and tie the football game up. Now, I think this is going to be the point in the show where I might lose a good majority of you Giant fans who are listening right now, which is fine. Hey, it's all family. It's all fair and love and war. I got a job to do. You guys are Giant fans. You got a job to do. I'm going to tell you point blank. I did not believe, watching it live, the 2-point play was pass interference. I'm telling you that point blank. I thought Antoine Winfield Jr. turned around. Yeah, he might have been a little bit early, but I think the bigger problem was the fact that Daniel Jones did not get that football out quick enough. If Daniel Jones gets that ball out quicker on the 2-point play, the game is tied. There's no pass interference. Antoine Winfield does not make a play. There's nothing to discuss. Jones and his decision-making all night was brutal. There were missed throws. There were interceptions. On that 2-point play, and credit the guys in the ESPN booth because they were all over it too. They pointed out, Greasy did. Jones was too late getting that football out. Now, I understand some of the arguments that are going to be made about Antoine Winfield getting there early. To me, it's a bang-bang play. I thought it was a bang-bang play. I thought he turned. Now, Joe Judge is going to say he threw the flag. Then why on earth are you picking up the flag? I understand that. But to me, the call on the field was wrong. I, watching it live, and remember, I had no dog in the fight. Zero dog in the fight. I thought it was good defense. Don't put yourself in that position. Yes, there were a couple calls that went against the Giants tonight. I'm not going to overlook that. Some of the helmet-to-helmet calls. One that they picked up was just an absolute joke. One of the calls on Bradbury I did not like. I'm not going to sit there and tell you that this was some great officiated game. Because it was not. Last call of the game. I get why Judge is ticked off. I disagree with him. To me, that was good defense. To me, that was quality defense. And for the Giant fan that's going to cry, woe is me, about losing this game on the officials, I don't want to hear it. I don't. And I'm going to tell you why I don't want to hear it. Because you had Tampa on the ropes. You had Tampa dead to rights. Your quarterback destroyed you with inexplicable, inexcusable turnovers. Can't have it. That, to me, is where this game was lost. Not on a 2-point play. Nope. This game was lost on those two picks. And the Daniel Jones dilemma is, can he get this out of his system? Because quite frankly, I'm not sure. I know that he brings some positive elements to the table. Do I see star franchise quarterback in all of them right now? I do not. That could change. Here's going to be my overall optimistic take on what I saw on Monday night. Quarterback aside, the Giant defense is leaps and bounds better than what it was last year. It's not even close. The coaching that I see on a week in and week out basis. This team is prepared. This team fights. This team has character. These are all encouraging signs. Now, they're still good enough to lose. And that's something that's got to change. I'm confident that with this head coach, well, the bigger question, I think, moving forward in the second half of this year and moving forward going into the offseason, do you have the right quarterback? And right now, my answer would be, I'm not so sure.